You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Got any rights yet? I do.
Just like that, little critter told me, down by the cold creek. It don't matter if your poles are dusty, beer in the tackle box, out on the flat rock, baiting that hook with only the right look, lure in the sunshine, ripples in the sweet tide, rubber's going out of sight, even if it tastes all night. Ooh, ooh, I'm gonna catch me a winner, cause I
good morning and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with my special guest co-host, Captain Alex Delinsky of Spot on Charters.
Good morning.
How's it going, Captain?
And you're right, I am special.
You are very special. Especially when you bring breakfast.
I was going to say, boy, these things are delicious. What are these, Alex?
The beef patties?
Yes.
Yeah, they're just called beef patties. Those are regular, then they make them spicy.
I was going to say, I must have had to hit the spicy one because that one's
Greg
got
likes
a little
spicy
bite to it.
Fantastic. They're not too bad. The spicy you would really know.
Okay.
Those are the mild,
the
mild.
Okay, then maybe I haven't hit them.
You brought in the mild version?
That's what I asked for, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
If you can't hardly eat them and you don't like hot, then they're the spicy.
Oh, okay. No, but these still have a little kick, which is nice.
I haven't tried them. Is it kind of like a jerk seasoning that
yes,
they put in them?
But very mild.
Okay.
Not a lot.
Okay.
Are you
going to
hit
gotcha.
One of these?
Well, I may. Okay. I might. I already had, I didn't fully realize the extent of the delectables that were going to be in here this morning, so I had a muffin before I came in. Shame on me.
House,
I should know better.
House Jamaican Pastry is the name of the place.
Yeah.
I'll save one for you.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. We're going to head over to line one because we've got Dave Westra with Lear's Economy Tackle standing by. Hey, Dave.
Hey, I heard the word jerk, and then I heard Dave from Lair's Economy Tackle.
I heard that, too.
That's no.
Funny. That's funny.
We were talking food.
Oh.
But, Dave, we do have some questions for you this morning. So we're talking redfish because we know, you know, it's been all about the redfish lately, and Red October is coming up. So for those who are strolling on into the shop and they're looking for a few go-to redfish lures, what you got for us? What do you recommend?
Well, the one thing I will have to say is that Alex is, you know, was spot on early on talking about what to look for when you're out there redfish fishing. The thing that I find or have found over the years is starting about mid-August, is about when we start seeing that influx of redfish that have evidently been lollygagging out in the Gulf or, you know, during the summertime, and they start coming in, and they are in and around the passes. I used to like the area just inside and around Buckkey and
right
in Pine Island Sound because of the association with blind pass there, and you know, if you can catch really good long low tides in that area right there, you can wade that area for 5 or 6 hours and the water won't get up over your knees. But what they're feeding on are the small crabs and the small shrimp that have been hatched out during the summer, and they're in the grass, and it comes in through the pass there, and it's associated with the other passes too. They're so small, they get carried by the current. So when the tide drops, all that food settles down into the grass or in and around the oyster bars in those areas there. And then as the tide picks up and starts moving in, they generally start gravitating towards the other side of the sound. And the fishing can be really great. And it's really right up your alley, Debbie, because you like fly fishing, and that's what I used to do when we'd go out there and fish those low incoming tides with small flies, something that has maybe a greenish tint to it or maybe a brown tint, because those little animals get algal growth on them, so to speak, and so they kind of have a not a bright color to them, a kind of a dull camouflage color to go in there. And there's a really fairly famous bonefish fly called the bonefish bitters. That's an epoxy kind of fly. When you look at it in the water, it kind of looks like a little what a little crab would maybe look at. And that comes in those really kind of dull colors. Comes in browns and greens, and there may be a bright color or two. Now, I think there's one they make, it's got a little bit of red into it, but I kind of like that type of a thing. A real small, shrimpy flies that, you know, Puglisi makes some relatively small flies that will work real good. From the lure standpoint, you know, this is a lot of old school. Quarter ounce or eighth ounce Gold Johnson Sprite. When you have a little bit of water that can be underneath it, moving it, twitching it real slow. Another really pretty good spoon is a Gold Wahoo spoon. I like that. The thing is with shallow water fishing for them, something that's kind of hard is a surface lure is kind of hard to use because, in my mind, the redfish have what I consider to be an inferior mouth. It's on the lower part of their head, and so they can't. They have to turn their body to kind of get their mouth up to get something on the surface. Something that would be a relatively shallow top water, but like let's take a real small. Yuzuri and a Pinn's minnow, but don't cast very well because they're like a 16th of an ounce.
Yeah, super
but they
light.
Don't run, but they don't run very deep either. I mean, so you can kind of tip them along on the surface when you get him close to a redfish that you see, and then put kind of a slow retrieve so the bait pulls down into their strike zone a little bit. But they're several things. People just have to get out there and mess around with them. But I like things that have hints of gold in them. Redfish are a sucker for a gold, for a gold lure, I think.
Yeah. So, Dave, what's your preference in terms of using the Sprite versus the traditional Gold Johnson spoon?
Personally, I'm a Sprite guy.
Yep.
And it goes way back when I first started fishing spoons. The Sprite was generally, I think, more considered a saltwater spoon. Where the Johnson Gold
freshwater
was considered a freshwater spoon. And I got to give kind of credit. I think where credit is due to Mike and Joyce Rare. Back when right before redfish went into their game fish status. Mike and Joyce used to fish up in and around Upper Captiva. And when they did go into redfish status and taken off the commercial list, they started noticing more and more schools of redfish when they were traveling by boat from Upper Captiva back down to Sanibel. And they started using the gold, and this is a play on words now, gold silver minnow more, and it kind of took off. But there are a couple of more that are on the market. Aqua Dream has a nice weedless gold spoon, but for me it's a little bit on the big side. But that comes in several varieties of golds, but I for some reason I always preferred the Johnson Sprite, because you could get them as small as a 16th of an ounce.
Right.
You know, that's not very common because a lot of wholesalers don't carry that small. Quarter ounce to three quarter ounces is about the general sales or running size of all of those gold spoons, anywhere from a quarter up. But getting those real small ones, they're relatively hard to get for us unless you special order them. Another one's a Gold Cast Master. That's got a different action than the Sprite spoon. And talk about like spoon fishing. This is something that a lot of people maybe don't realize this, but if I go back 50 years ago, here he goes again, going with that 50-year-old stuff again. But anyway, the gear ratios on the spinning reels were relatively low. They're, you know, 4 to 1, 4.2 to 1. Nowadays, 6 and 7 to 1 gear ratios are common in spinning reels, and so there's a tendency to make them run too fast.
Mm-hmm.
When the lower gear ratio reels were out, that for me was the right speed for the lure to run. Right now, you have to really think real hard about slowing your retrieve down for those fish, so they have a chance to get it. A lot of times you're moving away from them too quick.
Quicker than a natural bait would.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we might have touched on this once before, Dave, but remind me, now, when you're rigging, do you use a swivel to prevent line twist when you're rigging the traditional Gold Johnson spoon?
Yes.
Yep.
I do. I do. And people have left that in favor of the line to leader system. And again, I give credit where credit's due on this. Philip O'Bannon and Ricky O'Bannon started that line to leader business right there, and everybody followed them. But they were generally more live bait fishermen. But people have a tendency now to not use swivels where swivels are needed. I mean, or else you're going to have tremendous line twist, and you, again, with these higher gear ratioed reels and braided lines, you can have a real mess at the end of the day. Your line getting all snarled up. Everybody calls them wind knots, but they're not all necessarily wind knots.
Right.
There's line twist that's been building up in there for weeks, maybe.
Right.
Yeah, and you can actually just attach that swivel to the top of the spoon.
Yes.
Which makes it really easy.
Yes.
I think,
you know, same thing with trolling. People think they want to troll with spoons, and it's unless you really have your speed down right. Spoons are not made to spin. They're made to flop.
Right. Yeah. Or and flutter. Flutter down.
Right. Correct. Most people don't do that at all.
Yeah.
You're right.
Well, I think people probably, as with, you know, most lures, I think our natural tendency is to just always fish them way too fast.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, and it's like you got to constantly tell yourself, wasn't it Bill Dance that said, if you think you're fishing slow, fish slower.
Slower.
Yeah, you're still moving too fast.
Yeah, and it's true, because a lot of times that's exactly it. And you'll notice you just stop and take a second and slow it down, and that's when you get the hit, finally.
Alex was right on. The fish coming in now have not been run over or shot at by folks, because they're kind of like new to the area. But as we get further on into the season, the numbers of people that are trying to chase those schools down or go after those smaller pods of fish, mm-hmm. they become real wary.
Mm-hmm.
And after a couple of months, they know what it sounds like when a push pole gets stuck into the bottom.
Right.
They know what an electric motor sounds like.
Live well.
And they
patch.
And they stay further away from you. you know. Until you get into the spring, and then they'll move offshore. You know, a lot of the guys come springtime that are going redfish fish. They leave fishing with 7 foot rods. They start fishing with 7.5 foot rods, because that redfish is moved out about 10 feet further than what he was back in October.
Spookier.
And you need to get that little extra 10 feet on your cast so you can get your lure or your bait to them.
And the shallower the water, the spookier they are that time.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
oh.
And so to add to that, I would imagine that as we're going to start heading into our drier months of the year, too, when the water cleans up a bit because we don't have all those rains, You got to always remember, if you can see the fish, they can see you.
Yeah, and they're worried. They're worried about birds flying over. They're worried about predator fish.
Yeah.
Boat noises, all that. So they're super spooked for sure.
Oh yes, they are. Yeah. Now there's something that this kind of interesting. I thought Lily and I went out. I guess it was last Saturday night. We went to a Chinese restaurant because we had heard that they had a really good offering of chicken and rice. And we kind of like chicken and rice. So we order from the guy, and about 10 minutes come by, they bring this bowl that has a top on it, set it down on the table. Lily gets the serving spoon out and lifts the top of it up and quick puts the top back down again. I said, "What's wrong, sweetie?" And she said, when I lifted the top, there were some eyes looking at me. I said, "Eyes? Get any eyes. What are you talking about?" And she said, "Well, look at this." And I lifted the lid again, and sure enough, there were two eyes looking at us. And we quick put the top down there and called the waiter. And the waiter said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "Well, when we lifted the lid on the chicken and rice, there were two eyes looking at us." And he says, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I brought you Peking duck."
That's pretty good.
That is a good
well
one,
done.
Dave.
Anyway, I've been thinking about that all week. I couldn't wait till Saturday.
Yeah, you did well slipping that one in.
Yeah, you did. Right in between the redfish combo.
But anyway.
Oh my goodness. Now Dave, still like with supply chain issue stuff, are you still having some challenges getting certain things in? Are you seeing it start to get better?
In some respects, and yes, in both instances, we're starting to see a few things loosen up, particularly Daiwa merchandise.
Yeah.
We also got two phone calls from two wholesalers that have not had a pen reel in 4 months. Got one guy got 17 pallets of merchandise. Another guy got 21
nice.
Pallets of merchandise. The for us, the hard thing, and I think it's going to be the same with almost all of the dealers, the company that's way behind is Shimano. And that's really unusual for them because they were always kind of the go-to guy that you could go to and you could get your merchandise in about 3 days. But they seem to be, in most cases, months behind in everything. But we're seeing some Daiwa loosen up and some pens starting to loose up. Now, we haven't gotten it all in yet, but we're probably within the next week to 10 days we should see some merchandising starting to turn around for everybody for a while. Now, this is what's going to happen, though. The void is so big within the industry.
Yeah.
That when that stuff comes in to the wholesaler and we get it from the wholesaler,
it's going to be gone as soon as it comes in.
Inventories are going to drop quickly, uh-huh. And our inventories are going to start to drop quickly. So I hate to even put it this way, because I don't think this is how business is supposed to be, but it almost forces you to hoard.
Well,
when you see it, you better buy it.
Yes, because I don't know, how are things looking in terms of your Power Pro inventory? Because, man, have I had an issue trying to find Power Pro.
Because that's a
Shimano product,
owned,
isn't
Shimano
it?
Shimano-owned product.
Yeah.
And you know, so you jump off and you go into, say, Daiwa's J-Braid, and now that Pure Fishing, which is related to the pen product because the company's owned by the same company, the Spider Wire, you tend to jump into that a little bit more. But oh yeah, it's an Easter egg hunt every day. You look under every rock and every tree trying to find it. But yes, Power Pro is a problem.
Yeah. So if people see me with a huge bag in the back of my truck and they're wondering what it is, it's not Power Pro and I'm not hoarding it.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, Dave, they are playing our tune.
Well, gee.
Good Redfish conversation.
I hope you all have a good, we are going to be open, you know, last minute stuff. So we're going to be open Labor Day. We just have so much work. We got to be here. So
you're open on Monday.
So okay. We're going to be open Monday. Yes, ma'am.
All right. So folks should stop up and see you guys at Lear's Economy Tackle. All right, Dave, have a great holiday weekend. We'll catch up with you next Saturday.
Thank you, guys.
Take care. Bye. That is Dave Wester with Lear's Economy Tackle. If they don't have it, you don't need it. We're heading off to another break. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
This land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Good morning, this is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with my special guest, his co-host, Captain Alex Dolinsky of Spot on Charters.
Good morning.
Good morning, Captain. Got a couple of texts coming in. I love this one. Did you see Herbie Hancock's text message, Rick? He sent in a text, which is a picture of just a gorgeous cobia that he caught. And the caption is, fishing is life!
It's catching on.
It's catching on, yep. Pete. It's catching on.
Fishing is life. You got a nice one from Tire God just before.
Yes. So Tire God texted in. He said, is there a certain time of year or water temperature that redfish, tarpon, or snook will hit blue crab? Thanks. Love the show and all the info I absorb from Captain Deb and the amazing guests. Love it.
That's you, Alex. Amazing guest.
Yes. Amazing special guest co-host. Yes.
We couldn't do it without you, buddy.
Alex, I know we talked a little bit about this. So there's not really a specific time of year. Blue crab works
year round.
Right. But real quick, before we grab Bradley, because he's holding on line one, real quick, tell us the best way that you use blue crab clusters, correct?
In the summer, I'll cut it up in clusters, like in quarters.
Yep.
You know, if it's a palm-sized blue crab or one you could eat. So I'd cut that up in quarters and clusters and fish with that on the bottom like cut bait.
Yeah.
And as the water starts to cool off, the fish are moving more, the bait's moving more. And I'll use a whole crab, as small as I can get them, from a quarter size up to, you know, twice that size. And I break both the tips off.
Yes.
That allows the fish just to swallow it quicker. So he's not going to pick it up and turn it in his mouth as much. He's going to hit it and run.
Yeah.
And then obviously pull the claws and the pinching claws off and let him do his thing. But so you can use them year round if you can get them.
Yeah, for redfish, for black drum, either. We'll take those.
Snook have hit them, believe it or not, with their soft mouth. So, yeah. Especially when you're using them clustered.
What fish doesn't like a blue crab?
Right, exactly. That's true. Shark.
Yeah, so there you go, Tire God. All right, we're going to head over to line one and grab future Captain Bradley. Hey, Bradley.
Good morning. Good. Captain Debbie, how are you?
I'm doing good. And I'm guessing you're doing pretty good, too, because it looked like you had a great week out there on the water. You want to fill us in?
Yeah, guess where I'm at right now.
What's that?
Guess where I'm at right now.
Well, I don't know. Where
Flamingo.
Are you?
Flamingo.
Really?
New Largo.
Oh, nice. That's right. I remembered you told us you had that trip coming up.
Yep.
Now
and
I remember.
So we have a big fishing report. So yesterday, we went fishing in Flamingo.
Awesome.
And we caught three tarpon, two redfish, and two snook.
Woohoo!
Perfect day.
Yeah.
Yep.
So do you remember what tide phase you were fishing?
I don't remember. It was pretty high.
Yeah.
It was pretty high, so I'm guessing it was high tide.
Yeah. Or close to high tide.
Close to high tide, yes.
What were you guys using?
So we were using a jig head, I think it's the Z-Van redfish hook, what's it called?
The red eye?
Redfish magic?
The red eye, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With a, it was like a red and like brown Z-Man.
Okay.
It wasn't a paddle tail. It was a. I forgot what the other one's called. It's got the two little tails.
Yeah,
like
I know
a.
Which one you're talking about?
It's like a longer bait.
Like a fluke.
Fluke, yeah.
Okay. All right. So you were using some Z-Man soft plastics and just having an absolute blast out there. That's
yes,
great.
Today,
so that's what you were using for all. You said you got
yep.
snook, you got tarpon, and what else?
And redfish.
And redfish. So yep. What size redfish were you seeing down there, Bradley, roughly?
Pretty nice size reds.
Yeah. Good deal. Yeah. So over slot size, would you say over 27 inches?
Not over 27, but they were like in the 20s.
Okay. That is so fun, especially those
yes.
juvenile tarpon, right? So much fun.
Yeah, the tarpon were that small. They were like 30 inches.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's still small, but they're still a really good fight.
Oh, and the small yeah. ones are
smaller,
so
better.
Acrobatic. They come up and jump out of the water and, yeah.
Yeah, the tarpon my dad had on at least jumped at least, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 times, and it was like right next to the boat.
Yeah, that's awesome, isn't it?
That's just so fun. I'm
yeah,
so
today,
glad you guys are having such a good time down there. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And then today we're going to go see Holy Jesus. You know what that is?
Yes.
Oh, that's at the...
John Pennekamp.
John Pennekamp, the underwater park. Yes.
Yep. That's where we're going to go snorkel today.
You guys are going to go snorkel. Oh, have a great time. The weather should be good
yes.
for you guys, too.
Yes. It should. We already looked at it. It should be pretty good.
Yeah. Well, take lots of pictures, and we won't keep you on the phone with us because we know you got to get out there and fish and snorkel and enjoy your vacation.
Yeah.
But we appreciate you calling in. We really, really appreciate you calling in, and thanks for the updated fishing report. So say hi to your parents. Have a great time,
okay.
and you guys drive safe coming home. You coming home
okay,
on Monday?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk to you next thanks. Saturday, Bradley. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
That is future Captain Bradley Finch. Always great hearing his updated reports.
Living the life.
Yes.
Good memories.
That's what it's all about. Those family fishing memories out there on the water. Oh, my goodness. So Rick Gator Tom is already starting in on us. Did you see this? Just because I'm working today
yes.
and might miss reminding you, 9:15 is launch time, keeping us on point for useless information.
He did, and I knew he would be distracted because earlier he sent a picture
of a gigantic inflatable gator.
That's actually a gator statue. That is outside of the swamp where the Florida Gators play. And, you know, I don't want to reveal too much information about the mystery of Gator Tom, but he actually works for the Florida Gators football team. So he is at work today because the Florida Gators open their college football season tonight. So
that's a statue.
Yes.
That is, yes.
Oh, okay.
That's outside of the Florida Gators stadium.
Not having ever been up there, I would not know this.
Yes.
But okay.
So,
Brenda's going to have to take you up.
Yeah. It is a monstrously sized gator. That's for sure. One that you would not want to find chasing you in the Everglades. That's for darn sure. Yeah, so actually, Alex, this is a perfect time to segue. So we just talked to future Captain Bradley Finch, and he's on his vacation down in the Keys and doing all kinds of fishing. And I know you and I were going to touch on a little bit about some tips for booking a guide if you're going on a trip, if you're traveling. So let's talk a little bit about that. A few tips if you're...
Well, like, for instance, in Florida, if you're going somewhere in Florida, you're staycationing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, next week we're going somewhere on the other coast, and I don't know anybody in that area, so I look on the FWC website and see if anybody's on that as far as a bay captain, backwater captain. Then I just asked other captains, you know.
Ask for referrals.
Generally, most of us captains have fished with other captains around
the state,
the country, the world, and... we know who to fish with and who not, and you know who tried. And so, you know, word of mouth is generally the best way to do that. But
absolutely,
you can just Google and see who has the best, you know, current pictures, current interactions on Facebook and social media. You know, if their social media, their last post was a year ago, they're probably, you know,
a part
busy.
Guy
or, yeah, yeah. Who knows? Yeah. Who knows? Not I hate to say they're not good, basis. But yeah, just look for somebody who's out there often, and because that's important, in my opinion, at least where we're at here fishing is. You may be a good fisherman, but if you don't go out regularly, you're just not on the
patterns.
Current movement and patterns right. as somebody who, you know, goes once a month. So
that's so true. And even with the trip that Greg and I took to the Smokies, I had asked Joe, just knowing I wanted to do some fly fishing up there, months in right. advance, I asked him, hey, do you have a recommendation for a fly fishing guide in the Smoky Mountains? And sure enough, he came back with a fantastic recommendation, and it worked out so well. Because the conditions were super challenging. And yes. had I been out with somebody who wasn't really dialed in to what was going on up there and didn't have a backup plan, right. given the high water scenario, we probably wouldn't have
done
caught fish.
Well.
Or right. they would have just canceled on me.
And knowing so, what is eating where you're going that time of year is important. So if you're after a specific fish and you wanted to go to North Carolina, we'll find out the fish that you want.
Right.
What's the best time of year to go? But if you're going at a certain time of year where you don't have a choice, then the best thing is to ask the guide, well, what do you suggest? What is best bite right now? What kind of fishing would you do? Versus you telling, you know, because I get people to say, well, I want to catch tarpon and they're here in the middle of winter when there's no tarpon. Or
right. Or they want to catch
like
a 40-inch snook in the
right,
middle of winter.
Right,
and it's
right.
not.
So, yeah. Yeah. So just a lot of times just talk with a guide once you book them and. Or before you book them and see what's running, what they've been catching, and what he suggests for the weather, tides, and situation when you're going to be there.
Yeah, that's such good advice. I think just asking the guide what they would recommend.
Right.
Because really, if you're going, you want to trust their expertise.
Right.
They know, you know, there's no sense in going out there and trying to, you know, yeah. beat your proverbial head against the wall trying to catch something that it's just not.
And if the guy doesn't want to talk to you, doesn't want to work with you, and sounds standoffish, don't go with them.
Yeah.
You're not comfortable. There's plenty to choose from.
Yeah. And, you know, the one thing I will say, and it really, really bothers me when I hear this, because I get a lot of couples that book trips with me, and I can't tell you how often I'll get a call from a husband who will say, man, you know, my wife and I, we went out, we were, you know, out west fly fishing in the mountains, and you know, she's got a little bit of fly fishing experience, but she's still learning. And the guide was getting really frustrated with her and was really short with her and abrupt and hard on her. And she doesn't want to go back fishing again.
Yeah, that's horrible.
And it's just it's really, really frustrating to hear that, because that's somebody's vacation. That's somebody's experience when they're out there on the water. And that's what they're walking away remembering is
right.
just how bad they felt after that. They're not going to want to go back out there on
yep.
the water.
Yep.
You know, so the bottom line is it's got to be fun. And yes, as guides, we all want more than anything else our clients to catch fish. But I think it's important to remember, too, that, you know,
pay
close attention
right.
to the disposition of the guide that you're booking with. And when you have that initial phone conversation with them,
that's right.
try to get that vibe from them in terms of, you know, how
right.
are they going to be
right, yeah.
out there on the water, especially if you're taking a beginning angler or someone who doesn't have a whole lot of experience, because that's part of what we do is,
yep.
you know, it's our job to make sure that even if you don't have a lot of experience, you still have a positive experience and walk away feeling like you had
yes.
a fun time
that's
out
right.
there, because that's what's going to get you back out there on the water.
And the guide should look at the people that they're taking that way and kind of size up what, you know, are they more tourists looking for just an experience, or is this a seasoned angler coming with me that's looking for that particular fish, trophy fish that
right.
I want to put them on? And, you know, in my boat, I cast 99% of my trips, and that's only because I'm fishing three or four people. I want to get the lines where the baits where they should
right,
be.
Right.
And that offends some people. So I tell them, listen, every spot I go to, I'm going to cast the first time. If you can cast where I put it,
then go
have
ahead,
at it.
Then,
but
yeah,
if you're more
yeah.
comfortable with me doing it, don't be afraid to let me do that, because I do that. And 99% of people, you know, I'll cast hand rod and it's theirs the whole way. And it's just going to up the percentage that they're going to get a fish.
Yeah.
But you get a few people like me who go with people, and I'd prefer to cast, but just show me where. And if I, you know, and there's many a charter captains I've hired where I'm a good caster, but I can't do what he's doing, so I let him do it for me. I have no problem with that. That's what I'm hiring him for.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, and I think, you know, with a lot of the fishing that I do with fly and artificial, it's really dependent on absolutely. You being able to get the right retrieve down, yes. you being able to get your baits in the right place. So it's important to understand, too, that you want to ask those questions right. of your guide or captain. Are you fishing with live bait? Do you use artificials? And, you know, if you have a certain expectation, you know, you both need to make sure you're communicating.
The more you question, the better. You know, sometimes at the docks, I've seen people get on a flats boat and say, okay, you know, let's go catch grouper. And, you know, then the guy looks at them cross-eyed like, well, we're going back bay fishing. Well, that, you know, now they're mad at the people getting on their boat. Well, to me, that's wrong. You didn't do your homework as the captain when you booked these people or somebody booked them for you by questioning them what their intentions and what they're looking for.
Yes.
And if you don't know all that before they get on the boat, you haven't done your job as a guide.
Yep. Amen. And yeah. I don't know about you, but, you know, in these days of text messages and emails, I always pick up that phone and call and have the conversation versus just doing everything online.
I do the phone call and the text unless you're a regular.
Yep.
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 And
you
address the time, what to bring. It's all there.
Yep. All right. We got to head off to another break. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
Uh-oh, we broke your heart. Girl, what you gonna do? Have a pity party in the dark. Well, I've got a better idea for you. Buy a ticket on a southbound plane, an old island remedy. Go a little crazy, not insane. By tomorrow morning, you could be killing little umbrellas.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Good morning and welcome back. This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio with Captain Alex Dolinsky.
Good morning.
Good morning. Phone lines are open, guys. Go ahead and give us a call. Send us a text, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776.
Tom called in during the break, and he can't talk to us because he's busy. But he did want to clarify that the picture he sent is actually an inflatable alligator.
I was correct.
You were correct. But I said, but there is an actual statue of a gator outside the stadium, right? He goes, yeah, that's just... And then he said, I'll send you another one of that later. He goes, he said he had a picture of him feeding it. So
which he did promptly. It's there
already.
He sent it.
Okay.
He sent a picture of the gator statue with what looks like his foot. That's his arm.
Oh, his arm.
His arm.
Okay.
Stuck in the gator's mouth.
Okay. That's what I thought the picture was, but apparently the picture is an inflatable gator slide.
Yes.
That
I thought
like
it was.
Okay,
I thought it was. Anyways, but I still need to go up and experience it one of these days.
All right,
we're going to head over to line one because we've got Frank standing by from Naples. He's got a question for Captain Alex. Hey, Frank, good morning.
Doing, Debbie, and I've got a question, and it's kind of long, so you may want a pen and a pencil and write two or three things down, and then I'll listen to the answer. I have a 15-foot C-nymph with a 25 with a trailer on 12-inch tires that I want to take to Isla Mirada every couple of weeks. To go out to the Gulf Stream, it's about 4 miles, and you get into that deep water. Can I do it with that, or do I need to buy like a 17-foot Aquasport, or would you recommend a catamaran hull? And what would be the best weather for calm weather to go out? We have like west 10 mile an hour, and then it'll be east 10 mile an hour. And south, I think, would be all right, but when north is bucking the current, probably I ought to be on shore. I'm sure you got a lot to say about it, and I'd love to hear it.
Well, north wind bucking the current's good for sailfish and stuff, and that's going to get them fish closer to the reef. But you basically just want to go out with a south winds. That's going to be a little calmer, a little easier to get to. As far as using a boat in the Gulf Stream, anything under 25 feet, I suggest not doing it. Because the things out there can change so fast, it's just not safe. So what I would suggest is two other options you have. You can rent boats almost anywhere down there in that 21 to 25 foot range with a T-top. They have outriggers on them and depth finders and GPS. And that's certainly easier and cheaper than you trailering and worrying about where you're going to tie the boat up and splash it and all the aggravation of maybe a blown tire or a bad bearing. So renting a boat in Almirada, Marathon, any of them places is pretty easy to do, or just hiring a captain to go after what you like to go after versus towing your own rig down there. That's what I do, and, you know, it's just easier that way.
Yeah.
Is that helpful?
Sounds good.
Not saying you shouldn't take your own boat, but if you do, do it in the summer because, you know, the seas are generally calmer in the summer, and just go out where you're comfortable.
Well, we have relatives down there that I can park the boat and launch it at. I thought we could get by with like a 17-foot aquasport.
Oh, yeah, you can if you want, but, you know, you're going to have to pick and choose and let people know where you're going and make sure you have your safety gear and go. But just be careful.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Frank. We appreciate it. You have a great rest of the weekend. Oh, breaking up. All right. That was Frank calling in Naples. All right. So we got some more text messages coming in here. Clampass said, back in the 80s, a friend of mine who mostly bass fish tournaments around the state would go out and fish saltwater and use some of his freshwater baits like the Bomber, Fire Tiger for snook. But he would use a spinner bait for redfish in the 10,000 Islands, and it worked. Yeah, absolutely, Clampass. There's a lot of what I like to refer to as like transitional lures and baits that work just as well in freshwater as they do in salt.
Correct.
And just like Dave was talking about earlier, that Gold Johnson spoon traditionally was known as being primarily a freshwater lure, but works great for redfish and saltwater. I mean, it's just some of the lures are, you know, if they're originally intended for freshwater, they may not have like the saltwater hooks that are going to hold up,
right?
The corrosion resistant hooks and things of that nature. So you may not be able to get as many uses out of them, and you need to be really conscious of rinsing them off before you put them back in your tackle box and that kind of thing. But yeah, there's a lot of great baits out there. A lot of times people think they have to have two separate tackle boxes for freshwater and saltwater, but there really are. Even a plastic, soft plastic worm like a Senko will catch sea trout.
Right.
So there's a lot of baits.
Whatever
that
you're
you can
comfortable
use.
Using, really, more times than it is color or.
Yeah. Right. I mean, a bait fish is a bait fish. So paddle tails are another example of something you can use in fresh and salt easily, for sure.
Thirsty Nick came in with a couple of pretty funny texts I don't really want to read on the air or to insult or hurt anybody's feelings, but I get what you're saying, my friend.
Yes.
Thanks for the giggles, Thirsty Nick. Even though he did say that Gator Tom most likely 10 bush lights deep already. Now, that is very likely.
Yeah. That is very, very likely to be the case. Maybe 10 bush lights deep, or could be like 5 rum and cokes deep.
Yeah,
we don't know which exactly is true.
Same effect either way.
But yeah, so Alex, we were talking about booking a guide out of town, and I'm trying to remember where we left off. We got a little sidetracked here. But yeah, ideally, you know, obviously asking around, getting referrals from people you know, asking the fishing guide what fish they would recommend targeting given the time of year. I think we probably covered most of it.
And another good thing is if you're going somewhere for like a week, call that guide as soon as you know you're going there. Say, I'm going to be there this week, especially if it's a tidal water area.
And ask them
and
what
day. You know, what day is good for you? What would you suggest? And gives them more flexibility versus saying, I want to go Friday.
Yeah.
And if you can only go Friday, then, you know, you can only go Friday. But if you have a week or you can move your thing around to get a better tide because a guide says, well, I know you want Thursday, but Friday be better.
Better tide, better weather.
And you can do that because he's trying to tell you. from his experience. So
yeah, even so. From a freshwater perspective, if you're not dealing with tides, it's still weather can heavily influence things. Right. From my personal opinion, so lunar tables influence things. So,
and if you're going out of the country, and I've done this a lot and hired guides on recommendations, they can what I call roll you or take you, or you're a number, meaning, yeah, sure, there's sailfish are here, the marlin or whatever, and they take you, and then once you get there, you realize, A, they're not taking you where that fish is going to be, and B, it's the wrong time of year. Well, so you need to do a little of your own homework before you hire somebody out of the country.
Yeah.
Going, because they know probably they're not going to see you again, unfortunately. And sometimes these captains will just spend you know, take your money. And so, you know, make sure when you're doing that, you're going out of town, that if you're going after certain fish, that you're going for it at the time of year that fish is there.
Right.
And that particularly an out of country place is putting up pictures and regular posts of fish that you want to catch that week or two before you go.
Yeah, that's really good advice. And from what I've found, too, if you do a little bit of research online, most of those, you know, you can do a search, and a lot of times they'll have like a seasonal fishing calendar.
Right.
A lot of the renowned guides or reputable guides will have a calendar on their website that says, okay, if you're going offshore fishing and you want to target this species, these are the months primarily right. when we target them.
Right.
You know, so you know, okay, I really want to go after a white marlin in the Bahamas. Okay, your best yes. shot is going to be during this particular time
period. If you have a bucket list trip or a bucket list fish that you're after, talk to that guide ahead of time, ask him the best times, and then book your vacation around the time he tells you. And also, I suggest 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, yep. you're going all through all that expense to get there.
Yep.
Maybe fish with him 2 or 3 days or separate times if you're there a week.
Yeah.
You know, just to cover anything that may go wrong with, you know, when fishing's fishing.
And, yep.
You know.
Especially if you're going after a trophy fish or right. that fish of a lifetime, that's really, really good advice. Yeah, and I just lost my train of thought.
And most of these guys will work with you when you do that, you know. And again, if they don't, you don't have the feeling when you're talking to them, right?
Yeah.
Find somebody else.
Well, and that's case in point what ended up happening to me when we went to Tennessee, because we basically followed Tropical Storm Fred all the way up to Tennessee. And the guide said to me, listen, you know, I've got you on the schedule for Thursday, but is there any way you can push to Friday? And I could. And thankfully, we were able to get out and fish because the water had gone down considerably in just one day.
Yep.
So thankfully, we had that flexibility.
And that's a good guy. He knew.
Right, yeah, right. Which made a big difference. All right, we got to head off to another break. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.